Sunday Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, the flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference Champion Expansion Vegas Golden Knights. We are streaming on the LV Sports Network and seen on all of our Facebook pages live. If you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line. And we're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. I'm Brian Feldman. Directly in front of me, although you can't see him, I can't help but see him, producer and Lotus Broadcasting sports radio personality Chris Magnum Chapman. And to my right on your radio dial, hooking us up on Facebook Live and adding his dos pesos at every given opportunity, is Jose Valonte, whose podcast, Straight Bet Sports, is definitely worth checking out. Follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM, and on Facebook, it's even easier to remember. It's Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show, so if you got something to say, the Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340. Use it.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is hooked up every week thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. A great place to check out every game. Jose, what is on tap, brother?
Brian, today on tap, we got Mr. Real Life Carpenter on fire and blazing on sports radio. We're going to talk about the X Games as well, which is pretty cool, something that you and I got to watch last night as we were getting the show ready with Libor Podmaw. Don't say who, trust me. We wouldn't talk about him if he wasn't out of line, or at least insane. Once again, we got Jimmy Gemma back-to-back, second week in a row, talking about the Las Vegas 51s as well. Not Tim Tebow, though. Let's get that clear. Not Tim Tebow, who was hurt and is a member of AA Binghamton, not the 51s. We're going to be joined by Alan Snell as well this week with the LV Sports Biz Minute, and he just might talk Tim Tebow, which could be a good thing for us. We'll see. Joining us as well a little later will be Mark Anderson. Mark covers the UNLV football and basketball beat for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and he just covered NBA Summer League, so we'll be talking to him all about that as well. And not only that, hockey season is still a few months away, but Out of Line, Nightcap is a feature that has no season. And this morning, I'll explain how the Vegas Golden Knights just officially cleared their name. Now, that's what we got, so stick around. Brian's a better cure for a hangover than the hair of the dog that bit your ass last night. This is Out of Line. I'm Jose Valonte, and What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubba's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubba's University at 4570 South Hualapai, between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbasuniversity.com for more information.
All right, Jose Valonte with What's on Tap. Yeah, it is time for Blazin'. Blazin' is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings at the Montecito Crossing Plaza, 215 North Durango. A slap shot, a stone's throw, a Hail Mary from Centennial Hills Hospital. They got two happy hours every day. And you know Buffalo Wild Wings, man, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And we're only a little bit away from football season, where we are going to be out right there every Monday night giving away replica jerseys, giving away wing parties. Man, come on down and join us again. Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Man, is there anything more blazing right now, guys, than a member of the St. Louis Cardinals named Matt Carpenter?
Not at all.
This guy is not during the Bug Selig era. He is not a steroid user, but he is whacking the pee out of the ballpark on a regular basis. He has hit home runs in six straight games.
And he drives it out to deep right. Hayward back. He's done it again. Wow. Carpenter with home run number 24. You can't get him out.
This is ridiculous.
Man.
I'm telling you, get out of here. There was nothing windblown about that either. If anything, that was against the wind. He's been on that train a long time. That's his seventh home run in the last five games.
Deep drive on the right center, and it is gone. He's done it again, and he has tied the club record. A six-game home run streak for Matt Carpenter. He's Superman.
Unbelievable. Folks, you will rarely, if ever, see a hitter hotter than this. I'm telling you, he's not even hitting foul balls. When he swings, it is squared up.
Not even hitting foul balls.
It's amazing.
I would say how hot he is. That guy's blazing. 8 home runs. You know, they didn't even start him in the nightcap at the doubleheader yesterday. He comes off the bench for defensive purposes, comes up in the 7th inning and whacks another one.
Pinch hit solo homer.
I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Again, you know, 25 on the year now. Doesn't matter what handed pitcher he's facing. You know, of the 8 home runs in the last 6 game, Mags, 4 were against lefties, 4 were against righties. Doesn't matter the pitch count. 2 of them came on the first pitch, and 3 of them came on with 2 strikes. This guy is on fire, and you know, his last 12 hits right now have all been extra base hits.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Friday afternoon when they played the Cubs and they put up, I think, 18 runs in that game, he did something that only 2 players in Major League Baseball history have ever done, and he actually became the first to do it in 6 innings, and that was he went 5 for 5 with 3 home runs, 2 doubles, and 7 RBIs. He did all that.
Why did
in
they?
The first 6
I know
innings.
They were blowing him out and they were saving him for the doubleheader, but 3 home runs in 6 innings. Why wouldn't you let the guy try to get a 4th?
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's because
it's so rare.
You got to take care of his health too.
Yeah,
man.
Because and the other thing is, it's the Cardinals. You know what they're. They're shoved down our throat as America's baseball team, and you know they play the game the right way, and you know they look. Cardinals have a lot of history, and you know I don't think I don't see them risking a guy getting hurt for a record or for you know a stat, you know, and that's the way they do things. And you know I mock on them because I can't. I think you know I hate Joe Buck. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I hate the way he broadcasts.
That's like the second or third time I've heard you say that. Why don't you like Joe Buck as an announcer?
Because I think he's a pompous ass. the moment that I really got sick of Joe Buck was when he made that huge deal out of Randy Moss fake mooning the crowd in Green Bay and the hypocrisy of him doing a commercial for a beer company where he was supposedly interviewing some athlete, Leon, I think the athlete was, who was just like Randy Moss and just like Deion Sanders. You know what? You're a hypocrite because you have no problem taking the money from the advertiser to promote a player, a fictitious player like that. But when an actual player does it in real life, that is a disgusting act by Randy Moss, and I'm sorry.
But when the money comes along, you're there.
Now, wait a minute. I want to know how
he pulled his pants down. He faked it. And you know what? As far as people on the football players doing disgusting things, a fake moon hardly qualifies as something that's a disgusting act.
Well, I agree with that.
Greg Hardy beating the living hell out of his girlfriend and throwing her on a bed with guns.
That's a disgusting act.
That's a disgusting act.
But hold on, real quickly, because I don't know how we got from Blazin to Randy Moss.
Well, because it's Blazin.
You had to start with the Joe Buck thing. But hey,
you know what? The other thing is, he totally made his career off of his father, who was a legendary broadcaster.
I'm sorry, Joe Buck is a very talented broadcaster.
He might be.
I really think what he does takes talent. It's not his father isn't sitting in the booth doing what he's doing
every
day. But
his father opened up the doors for him.
Of course, but you can't blame fathers for opening the doors for their son.
But I'm not blaming the father.
Okay. But Joe Buck deserves what he's getting. I'm telling you, he's really good. Listen, I wanted to talk about I didn't mean to get way off the subject, but the key is talking about Matt Carpenter and what he did is absolutely incredible. I wanted to say that, you know, there's only been, you know, for those of you that don't know, the most consecutive game streak of home runs is 8 games done by 3 players. Ken Griffey Jr. did it with the Seattle Mariners. Don Mattingly did it with your New York Yankees, Jose. And somebody else did it as well. I'm sorry, I'm not ESPN with the stats. But pretty damn impressive what Matt Carpenter has just done over the past 6 games. Is he going to do it again today? He's facing the Cubs, Jose Quintana, who, by the way, he's 1 for 12 off of in his career, and his one hit was a double, not a home run. I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to hit another home. He is seeing beach balls right now. Matt Carpenter definitely blazing. And how about Clayton Kershaw? I don't know if you guys knew this about Kershaw, but going into yesterday, he was 14-0 in the last 5 years in the month of July. He has not lost a game in five seasons in July till yesterday. The Milwaukee Brewers got to him and beat him, so Kershaw loses for the first time in July. But Blazin, Matt Carpenter, man, I'm not going to take my hat off to you. I'm wearing the Kill Pop hat today for those of you that can't see it, but... Man, I got to give him an applause. It is unbelievable what Matt Carpenter is doing. It is real cool. Hey, and that guy is absolutely blazing without question right now.
Speaking of Brewers fans and Brewers, why did they give Hader a standing ovation yesterday?
Well, you know, I really didn't understand that either. I thought it was kind of awkward.
You know, I mean, this is a city and you know, again, not to get off, but I don't understand why you're giving the He made stupid comments when he was young that had a racial undertone, and you're giving him a standing ovation for apologizing for that? You know, are they going to give a standing ovation to the Milwaukee Buck who had the healthy?
Or what about are they going to give a standing ovation if Colin Kaepernick ever plays in the NFL again and he stands up for the national anthem? Are you going to applaud for him standing for the national anthem?
It's a complete joke, and it's a double standard, man. It all depends who you are. I mean, like...
To a degree.
You know what I mean?
One thing I wanted to say, and I'm sorry, we're getting off the subject, but yesterday...
That's why it's called out of line.
We're always
out
of line.
If we get off track, that's why it's called out of line.
That was yesterday, sitting in the... Jose comes over yesterday after he gets done with work, and we're going to work on the show, and we're going to get some things done. And, you know, we're watching different stuff on TV, and we kind of got stuck on the Summer X Games.
Literally stuck.
It's literally stuck. But it's a whole nother story.
Whole nother story.
We're not going to get that out of line
today. You should. I mean, hey, it's not like you're breaking the law.
No, you are right about that. We're going to leave it right there right now. What I will say is, it was kind of cool getting stuck on the X Games, and the guy that we really got stuck on. You mentioned him at the top of the show, Jose. But I'll tell you right now, this guy he's one of the drivers. He rides in they call it the Step Up, and it's the big tricks. He won the bronze last year. This guy, Libor Podmal. Unbelievable.
Where's he from? Czech Republic.
Yeah.
I had a feeling Eastern Europe. Yeah.
Let me tell you something about this guy, Mags. Both of his tricks, as they get to the finals, he starts off standing on the motorcycle. And this is gigantic air. You're going up a huge ramp. Yeah. He stands the whole way. He does his loop in his stance, and he goes off the ramp standing on the bike. He does this thing called the Kiss of Death backflip, where you are completely off the bike. He did it twice in two different rooms. He didn't even make the medals, the podium with this.
Yeah.
Both times he landed on the top of the hill where it is usually ends in catastrophe.
He lands a couple inches back. That thing flips. It's a wreck.
No, you'd be dead. But here's what's crazy is you don't even see it in fast motion until they slow it down.
Oh,
and they're like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. You see how catastrophic it could have been. And you realize, like I said to Jose, the testicles on this guy have got to be the size of an elephant.
There's
no way in hell. These guys are so high up. And you know, Chris, at this point in time, you're not landing in the rubber foam pit.
Yeah.
Okay? You come off your bike when you're 45 feet in the air. You're probably dying.
Yeah.
And yet, these guys do it left and right and over and over. I don't care who you are
and how much experience you have. Once you're going up there and you're up in that air and you're flipping, your adrenaline is rushing, your heart's pounding, you're scared, you're nervous. Obviously, you're a professional, so you're going to try to land it.
Yeah.
But I don't care who you are. Your heart's pumping and racing at that time.
Well, like, one of these dudes had, the day before, we're watching, and they said yesterday he separated his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. The day before
he separated it, and you can see
he had the black tape on his shoulder.
And he's sitting there. The guy's, you know, he's got some guns, you know, but he does, and I'm like, oh, Jose, he's going to fall for
sure. No protection, no chest protection, nothing.
He's
just
not
a t-shirt.
And
muscle.
I go to Jose, I go, he's going to wipe for sure, because you got to pull on that bike to do those flips. You got to
really, of course.
He lands a double flip perfect
landing.
And blew out. I'm like, I don't know how much cortisone or whatever the hell they stuck into his shoulder, but my God in heaven, I've dislocated my shoulder before.
Yeah.
You can't get out of bed the next day. You need help because it's so painful.
Well, those guys, you know,
their pain level is just ridiculous.
The Travis Pastrana thing on, what was it, 4th of July, where he jumped
the fountains
at Caesars, and he did the buses and all that stuff. And that's really cool stuff. I've been to the motocross stuff that they have out at Sam Boyd Stadium.
Me too. I've seen it too.
Oh, the supercross. Yeah,
those
cool.
guys, you know, it's not a sport that we really focus on or pay a whole lot of attention to. But those guys
it's more
are,
dangerous than freaking UFC.
Oh no, yeah, of course. With those bikes and those flips, come on. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is like you get burned. Like people don't realize how hot the exhaust gets.
Oh,
and, you know,
Jesus.
And it's like, you know, yeah, it was 105 or 108 degrees when Travis Pastrana was doing that jump, but he had the big leather suit on.
Mm-hmm.
He had the exhaust from the motorcycle. So the guy's probably dying inside that suit.
Already.
But
Travis Pastrana, you know, and I don't want to keep harping on the size of someone's testicles, but Travis Pastrana is one of the ballsiest dudes I've ever seen in my entire
overall
life.
X Games, yeah, he's crazy. Yeah. He's done almost everything but there is to do.
This guy jumps everything.
Skateboards, bikes, yeah. Everything, yeah.
And he's raced, like, stock cars, you know, like...
Rally, yeah, all that stuff.
The amount of respect that guy has, I think, amongst athletes that do that
type
of thing.
Yeah, he's going to jump Snake Canyon, not in a rocket car. He's probably going to do it on a motorcycle.
Yeah, I mean,
out of his mind. He truly is.
He's out of line.
He is.
Dude, come on.
But like those
off
guys.
Off the track.
Because I've interviewed Ricky Carmichael, and he was super, super cool. And, you know, a lot of people may remember him. He was one of the first guys, kind of pre-X Games, to really do a lot of the stuff on the motorcycles. You know, he was a champion in all the motorcycle, you know, racing.
My godfather used to take me when I was a kid back in Anaheim when they used to do it in, like, the Coliseum as well.
I used to watch it on ESPN when they would do it in the Coliseum, and they would go outside of the stadium.
Exactly.
The Tony Hawk of motocross?
Yeah, I mean, he basically is. And it's like the amount of growth that sport has done.
And not only that, before the Supercross, they had the Mickey Thompson off-road racing event.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such a – you know, it's not something I'll go out of my way to watch, but I have so much respect for those guys because – whether we consider what they do to be an athletic competition, the element of danger that is involved.
Oh,
in
it's
a lot
incredible.
Of, I mean, like, I can't remember who it was, but he think he broke his back on the half pipe doing skateboards. I mean, those guys are unbelievable. And it's like, to think it started as kind of like, you know, a couple guys back in the 60s put a board on wheels, you know?
And then started playing in the dried out pool.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's what you did, and it turned into the half pipe and what we have now. To an essence, skateboarding invented snowboarding. It wasn't skiing that brought snowboarding into play. You know, the mountains were there. It was skateboarding, and people said, "Wow, what if we take the wheels off a skateboard, make it a little bigger? How cool would this be on a slope?"
Oh, yeah, I mean, and even like surfing. You know, because I grew up on the beach and I surfed a little bit when I was a kid, and
I didn't
you know,
grow up on
it's
the beach,
like,
but.
It's like even that. It's an unbelievably dangerous sport.
Oh, let me tell you something. It's crazy. Body surfing. Go to Sandy Beach in Oahu and try body surfing in February. And let me tell you, if you survive that, I did. It hurt. Hey, listen, we got to take a break. I did want to talk about this. Hopefully later we'll get in the show. But really cool, we talked about before we went on air about the Red Sox and the Yankees, again, both potentially winning 100 games this year, and one of them having to be a wild card. There's nothing better for baseball. I'm not a fan of either team. Growing up a Tiger fan in the American League East back then when they only had the East and the West, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox were always rivals of the Tigers. They didn't consider us rivals. They considered each other their rivals always, but, you know, we considered them rivals. We had to get past them. But it is really good for baseball. Both these teams win over 100 games this year. Listen, on the other side of the break, we're going to speak into baseball. We're going to have Jim Gemma, the media relations director of the Las Vegas 51s, a few things to talk to him about. I'll get to that. Don't step on my punchlines, man. And then also, we got coming up after Jim Gemma, we're going to have Alan Snell, the LV Sports Biz Minute, and Mark Anderson. You know, UNLV right around the corner.
We
got UNLV
football,
UNLV basketball, and Mark also covered the NBA Summer League this year. We'll talk to Mark about all those things. We've got all the features. We got everything, and maybe give something away in a little bit. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
We're just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
Man, Tiger Woods at Carnoustie. Is this unbelievable? 7 under right now, co-leader. He's birdied 2 holes on the front 9, and Like I said, man, I mean, winning another major is a tall order, but I think we see Tiger Woods will definitely win more golf tournaments on the PGA Tour, and I think for a while none of us thought that would happen. This is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. And Jose Valente to my right on your radio dial. Chris Magnum Chapman producing, running the wheels of steel in front of me and on the phone right now. Media relations director of the Las Vegas 51s. 2 weeks in a row, man. Got him on the show.
Back to
of
back.
Course, this is the Las Vegas 51s report brought to you by the Las Vegas 51s, the AAA affiliate, at least for one more season, or for this season, I should say, of the New York Mets, Las Vegas 51s. They are out of this world. Jimmy, welcome to the show. One thing Jim is not going to talk about is Tim Tebow, okay? Because he has no control whether the guy comes here or not. So why ask the guy questions about something he has no control over? Plus, the dude's hurt, he's in Binghamton, and he is not the number one story in minor league or major league baseball right now. So, Jimmy, we'll leave him out of the picture. But before we start with the 51s, the Mets, the parent club, pretty big trade. Familia, a lot of people say he cost them the World Series a couple seasons ago. But going to the Oakland A's, hey, a team that is one of the teams I hear is rumored to be the minor league franchise, the AAA franchise here in Vegas, possibly soon. But pretty big trade for the Mets, Jimmy.
Brian, first of all, thanks for having me on. I mean, obviously the Mets are going to do some things to now and the trading deadline, unfortunately, because they're 40 wins, 56 losses. But the result of that trade yesterday, right-handed pitcher Bobby Wall, who was at AAA Nashville, actually, who were with the A's. Ironically, they're going to be here Tuesday. He's reporting to AAA Las Vegas, maybe in Reno today, or he'll join the team Tuesday when we open this homestand.
The Oakland A's, I know, Jimmy, people that I get asked the question, I won't say all the time, but a decent amount as I go to a good number of games, who is going to be the parent team of the affiliate of the parent team next year? And the A's are one of the rumored teams, right?
Well, I mean, from our end, minor league baseball and major league baseball, you know, they tell the affiliates really not to talk about it much, but it's hard not to because of the process of elimination. The Washington Nationals are most likely coming into the Pacific Coast League because the Mets are going to Syracuse in the International League. And with everybody else re-upping their player development contracts, it's the Nationals, the Brewers, and the Oakland A's. Unless something else crazy happens, that's really what's going to be standing here when the dust settles, when all the PDCs are signed. It's great. It doesn't linger on. It's about a week window through mid-September for 7-8 days. That process will go quick, so we'll know by then.
I've been Mr. Prediction on the show. I'm sticking with my prediction. I said it was going to be the A's, so I'm not wavering. But the Nationals are definitely a team that I would put money on if that was part of the bet. Jimmy, the other question is, you said about mid-September, we'll know that. Should we know the name of the new name of the team by then as well?
Yeah, we've been asking that too. You know, with minor league baseball, there's a whole licensing thing that goes on because you have to deal with new trademarks, logos, uniform schemes. You know, you like to have all that done at once. So we're kind of prefacing that with the baseball winter meetings, which is going to be great. It's back in Las Vegas for only the second time this December at the Mandalay Bay. It's all going to be at the Mandalay Bay in the convention center. So to make a long story short, hopefully this fall not right before then, but in and around that area, hopefully that'll all be announced.
Looking forward to it. I'm curious. I've heard a few names, but I'm not going to make a prediction on that one. You know, Jimmy, one thing Jose Valente told me yesterday, we were working on the show a little bit, and he told me about an article that he had read about maybe part of the reason that the new stadium is bowl-shaped is to allow for a potential expansion to be converted to a major league ballpark at some point in time if that were to be the case. Is that true?
To retrofit it with all the plumbing and the sewage and all that, it has to be there to expand. So that is going to be a 10,000-seat ballpark. It is not going to be out to unless I'm totally wrong and been misinformed to retrofit and go up and out to accommodate a major league team. That'll be a AAA ballpark. You know, probably about 5 years ago, I maybe think we'd have an MLB team, but to be really brief on this, as you know, Brian, whoever, if a major league team would come down the road, they're not going to play in that new football stadium. You'd have to have a standalone stadium, what they have in Phoenix, with a retractable roof, because obviously we're going to be playing in one teams this week coming up with this homestand against Nashville and Memphis from July 24th to the 30th. So what's that, $500-600 million? We're going to go through all that process again. Brian, I just don't see us having it'd be great because our 51's ownership would get about $70 million to go relocate to another market, because the PCL in Las Vegas have territorial rights to Las Vegas. So the AAA team would not play here anymore. They would go to another market and get about $70 million. So trust me, the AAA team wouldn't mind an MLB team coming. But again, like, you would have to have a standalone stadium. So I don't know where you're going to get funding for that.
It'll be a while, Jimmy. I still think, though, with the population, it warrants eventually having all four of the major professional franchises here. I think the next one we're going to see, Adam Silver is such a huge advocate of Las Vegas, and I even thought I saw him spying at the Golden Knights games, but I think the NBA is going to be next. But I think eventually, and when I say eventually, maybe it's a decade, maybe it's 10 years away, but eventually I think we'll see all four professional sports have the major league franchises here in Vegas, but the AAA building the new team, as I told Jose earlier, I said, you know, building that stadium, it's going to be a little while before we see a major league team. I agree with you there. Jimmy, finally, upcoming promotions, 51's coming to town. We're going to get to a few more games. Jose and I, lately, we go out there and we just sit in the stands with everyone else.
Yeah, but, regular fans, you know, when we get there.
It's pretty cool, but some of the best promotions coming up, Jimmy.
Yeah, definitely. We're home from July 24th to the 30th. Obviously, this time of year, all games at 7:05 Nashville, and then the defending champions Memphis from the 27th to the 30th. Budweiser Dollar Beer Night will be really great this Thursday because, you know, we're going to be dealing with 110 plus. Our next fireworks show is this Friday, and then probably one of the best promotions we'll have, Mets 51-style jersey night, July 28th to the first 2,500 fans through the gates.
Hey, appreciate it. So many great things, Jimmy, as you mentioned, all the things going on there, the dollar beer night, firework night, the promotional
jersey
giveaway.
Night is going to be
but
the good
best one.
The 51's Mets jersey.
It always
night,
is, yeah. And I tell people, get there early on those games. They go quick. People know. They know the promotions. And again, Jimmy, appreciate you joining the show. I can't emphasize it enough. I tell everyone, last year at Cashman, don't miss this opportunity to get down there.
Not only that, Jimmy, hopefully we can have you in studio soon. We're tired of having you on the phone. We want to have you in studio one of these days.
Yeah, we got to get him in here with the Facebook Live.
Can we get a commitment from you that we're going to get you in the studio one of these Sundays?
Yeah, that would be fun, and we'll announce the new name of the team as the Las Vegas Magnums.
There we go. Yeah. I think Mags likes that.
He would love that, man. I think that's good because they tried to get away from his nickname on the Golden Knights. They were calling him Chris Chapman, and I'm like, I don't even recognize him as that. Yeah, right?
Who's that guy?
Thank you. Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas 51s. We appreciate you as always, my friend.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to transition right from Jim Gemma and the Las Vegas 51s over to our friend Mark Anderson. Beat writer, covers the beat for UNLV football and UNLV basketball, and was there at Summer League every day, man. The poor guy was exhausted. I asked Mark last week, could I get him on? You know, he hates not accommodating. He's one of the nicest guys you'd meet. He's like, Brian, can I get some sleep on a Sunday, man? So we got him this Sunday. Mark, we appreciate you, my friend. One thing I will say real quickly is, you know, and Mags, go ahead and play this right now, our fact this open if you've got it, because this is a fact coming up right here, and I want to get this out.
Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact. UNLV football will be entering its fourth season under Coach Tony Sanchez, and UNLV basketball will be entering its third season under Coach Marvin Menzie. This could be each of their last seasons if, well, to answer that question again, the guy who's paid to cover both UNLV football and basketball for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Mark Anderson, again, he's on the line. And Mark, were you able to hear the question?
Yeah, I was. You know, I've asked Desiree, and she won't give a solid answer, and I don't blame her. I wouldn't either if I were her. What is expected of either coach? My sense of things is, if football goes at least 5-7 again, and at least is competitive for a bowl game. I think Tony will get Sanchez will get one more year. You know, he's got a few more years left in his deal, and I think, you know, football has been such a struggle for so many years. I think there's it's just a different situation than basketball. Where basketball, the expectations are more immediate, and so I think Marvin Menzies probably needs to at least get to the NIT next season, you know, to make sure he comes back for a following year. So that's my sense of things, you know, and I've tried to get a, you know, talk to people to find out, you know, exactly what the situations are, and it's just, you know, that's just different conversations. That's kind of the feeling that I have about how it, what the expectations are.
I'd agree with you 100%. I said that before the show, and part of it I stole from you, saying, you know, Tony Sanchez, 5 wins. If he matches what he did last year, he probably buys himself another season. Menzies, no doubt. I don't think the 20 wins means anything, even though it was almost a complete flip from his first season. I think they've got to see a postseason, and I think the postseason's got to be at least the NIT. I agree with you. Mark, the football. To me, you know, I hear the big initiative, and you wrote an article about called the Fantastic 20, kind of a play and an expansion of the Fantastic 7 of last year. To me, I just want to see the Fertitta building get finished, the second floor get done, and the funding to get found for that. I like hearing about all the things they're going to do to make it more fan-friendly, to make it more exciting for the student-athletes. But, man, let's get this weight room and everything done that was promised and give Sanchez a little more to work with, right?
Yeah, they got to get that second floor done. I mean, they'll take care of the most important parts, which is making sure the players are you know, have their locker room and their workout facility and all that. The players will be taken care of. You know, the thing is, the coaches will be stuck at the lead. At least it looks like they'll be stuck at the lead until they get the funding done to get the interior of the second floor finished. And, you know, that will be difficult. I mean, if, you know, if Tony Sanchez needs to see a player about something, the player's going to have to walk over to the lead. Not that it's a huge trek or anything, but still, it's not the same as if you're already in the same building together. So, I think it'll get done eventually. I don't know how long it'll take, but it's just not a good look.
No, I agree with you 100%, Mark. Talking about the football team, there's excitement as there always is at this time of year. Everyone's getting a little bit more excited, and especially with a professional team going to be here in a couple of years. You know, football's the talk. Two guys that are talked about preseason, they're on watch lists. You've got Armani Rogers on the Maxwell Awards watch list. Of course, college football's most outstanding player, kind of a rival to the Heisman Trophy. And then you've got Lexington Thomas, who had a phenomenal year last season, over 1,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, and he was named to the Doak Walker Award watch list. I learned that both from articles that you put online. But, I mean, Lexington Thomas is less than 1,300 yards. If he does, if he has rushes for a little bit close to 100 yards less than he did last year, he will pass Tim Cornette for the all-time leading rusher in UNLV history, a pretty prestigious thing for a very little guy. And how good do both these guys have to be this year, Mark, for this team to run offensively?
Oh, I think, well, they both have to be at the top of their games. I think this is going to be a very good offense. I'll be shocked if they don't score at least 30 points a game. You know, they almost did it last year. I think it was 28-something. You know, so there's no reason why this offense can't have really a fantastic season. And, you know, they get Charles Williams back at running back. So yeah, it makes it a little bit less likely that Thomas is going to break the school record, but he could still do it just because they have to share carries. So, but, you know, one thing that will help, he'll be fresh throughout the season, but I think last year toward the end, I'm not sure he was quite the same back. You know, of course, they were beat up in the offensive line a little bit. That didn't help either. So, I think having two fresh backs who are both really good and both explosive, plus, you know, Armani Rogers can really run the ball too. So, you know, I think, you know, he's going to average probably over 200 yards a game on the ground. And then Armani Rogers, you have to think, after a year in the program, will be a little bit better, a little more accurate throwing the ball. That's really the big knock on him, is even though he's got a strong arm, it's just the accuracy wasn't there. But, you know, that's something that you can work on, and I think he's going to get better at that, and I think by the time he's done, you know, he's going to be one of the all-time great quarterbacks there.
Mark, Jose here. You obviously talk about how great the offense is going to be, but can you talk a little bit about the defense? What do you think they're going to do defensively this year? Because, I mean, they fall apart every now and then.
Every
can
now
they,
and then?
Can they, can they be a lot more consistent?
One of the most putrid defenses in the country,
that's what
Jose.
I'm saying. So offensively, we know what they're going to do. We know what they're capable of. What about defensively? What do you see them doing defensively this year?
Yeah, that's the big but, isn't it? The defense, right?
Yeah.
That's why as good as the offense is, it's no given they're going to Vulcan, because you don't know. The offense might score 32 and the defense might give up 34. You know, right. That's just the way it goes. So, yeah, that's the big question. And it'd be interesting to see what they do, how they, you know, what changes are under a new defensive coordinator. You know, he played it close to the vest when asked about, you know, his own style, and I don't blame him. He'd just taken over the job at the time, and, you know, he was still trying to figure it out himself. So I think he was still, you know, I know he has his own philosophies and that sort of thing, but I don't think he was committed yet to any particular style. And I get the feeling that it'll be a little bit better, but how much? I mean, will they, you know, will it just be, you know, just slightly better where there's no real noticeable improvement, or will they take a leap forward enough to where the offense doesn't have to, you know, score 38 points to win a game? So my major question mark is that defense. And it's just been so long since they've had a really strong defense. It's been since, you know, at least a decade since they've had a defense where you felt pretty decent about that could go out there and at least make some timely stops. And that's been one of the frustrating things about watching UNLV defense over the years. Is not just they give up a lot of yards and points, but it seems like they give them up at the worst times, and that's something that's got to change.
Every time I get done watching them play defense, I want to have a ham and Swiss cheese sandwich because there's a lot of holes everywhere. I mean, Mark, I can't see it improving that much, but there's nowhere but up the way that I look at it. Mark, real quick, I want to ask about basketball as well, but before we get away from football, your prediction this year, obviously they're going to lose to USC in the first game. I would imagine Tulsa at home isn't going to be an easy game in game two.
It's UTEP.
UTEP, excuse me, yes. That's right, it is UTEP in game two. Mark, what's your prediction for will he get his five wins?
I think they got a great shot at six. I do. You know, the way the schedule plays out, they better be in a great position by the time November rolls around, because it gets tough in that final stretch. And even the trip to Hawaii won't be easy, because Hawaii will be coming off a bye week. And UNLV will have, be coming off. I think they play at San Diego State the week before,
yeah.
And you know that's the team that will physically beat you up. So that game will be tough, and that's a game that under normal circumstances you think they should win. So it's going to be difficult. The two sort of bellwether games I see are Arkansas State and Utah State. I think those games will tell us a lot about exactly where this team's headed, and they don't even have to beat Arkansas State. I don't expect them to, but if they can at least go there and be competitive and take them down to the wire, I think that will bode well going forward.
Six wins, I'm putting it down. Mark Anderson, Mark Anderson again, Las Vegas Review Journal. Before I ask you about UNLV basketball, I got to say Tiger Woods has poked a nose in front in the British Open. He is 7-under after 10 holes. Amazing, Mark. I'm watching it here. I heard a guy on another station today saying he shouldn't wear the red shirt anymore. He should reinvent himself. I completely disagree with that. I think that red shirt, when he's playing this way, is intimidating almost as much as his game. All right, UNLV basketball. Pretty cool. I read recently from Mark Anderson, Shakur Justin was named to the National Association of Basketball Coaches Honors Court, which means he's got to be maintaining a 3.2 average in his first year at UNLV. I love seeing that. He has been one of my favorite players that Menzies has brought here, a guy that is all about his team, all about a work ethic, and all about basketball, a man of few words that does most of his talking on the basketball court, averages a double-double, 14, almost 15 points a game last year and 10 rebounds. I like the guy a lot. Besides Shakur Justin, Mark, who else should I be excited about on this UNLV team, and who is Marvin Menzies going to count on to help him get to the NIT or better?
Well, I'm really interested in seeing how two of the newer players play, Bryce Hamilton and the Clark kid and Woodbury, Trey Woodbury, because they're basically in trying to try to help replace the backcourt, and so it'll be really interesting to see if they can come in and make that transition and make the kind of impact that is expected. And Hamilton's in particular interesting because he's the word interesting, but he's especially fascinating because he can score so many ways. And so maybe those guys are going to have to replace that offense that they lost from last year from the backcourt. And You know, they have some other deep players that, who will, you know, could make some strong impacts too, but those are the two I'm really watching. And Amari Hari, too, as far as the returning players, you have to think he takes a step up this season, you know, after a year playing in the program. And, you know, there was a reason why he was a top recruit, and I think he's only going to continue to get better.
I think he's going to be a key. If UNLV is going to be successful this year, Amari Hardy is going to be one of those guys that is going to have to make the ship run in the backcourt. Prediction on UNLV basketball court, Mark, is Marvin Menzies, the coach of UNLV 2019-2020, or does he not get to the NIT this year?
I think it's going to be really close. I'm hesitant to say one way or the other. I think it's going to be really close. I'm actually writing the Mountain West previews for Street and Smith, and right now I have UNLV fifth in the conference, so that puts them pretty much right on the line.
Going to be interesting. Yeah, fifth place in the Mountain West is not a guarantee by any means in the NIT. We saw 20 wins doesn't get you in. He's Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review Journal. Great stuff. If we had time, we'd talk more about the NBA Summer League because it was pretty cool this year. Ike Nwamah I saw there. I got a chance. Saw you talk to him a little bit.
Vaughn.
I got a chance to talk to Rashad Vaughn, which was really cool. We saw Christian Wood. A lot of ex-UNLV players there. It was neat at Summer League. Talk about that down the road. Mark, we'll have you on again soon, man. We really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on, Brian. You take care.
Absolutely. Again, Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review Journal, UNLV football and basketball beat. Definitely check him out. He will keep you informed. We got to take a break. We'll try to get Alan Snell on the other side of the break. Again, Tiger Woods in front at the British Open. Are you kidding me? This is out of line.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, even though we're still a couple months away from hockey season, man, the Golden Knights will be a part of this show every single week. We'll never stop. And Nightcap today, you know, here's the deal. You know, we thought that the Golden Knights had already won their name. Everything was good. They fought with Army. Of course, Bill Foley being one of the biggest contributing alumni to the University of Army or whatever you want to call it, the Army Academy.
$15 million donation with his name on the athletic department.
But they still wouldn't let him call the Vegas Golden Knights the Black Knights, which is what he wanted to do. But, Mags, I don't know if you were aware of it. Did you know that the Army,
United States Military Academy.
Okay, there we go. Whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is their parachuting team calls themselves the Golden Knights, and there has been a problem with that, which I didn't know about at all, but I guess Jesse Granger broke the story. It is now been resolved, and Jose, what do you got, man, because you read more about it than I did.
So the article that I read was from Darren Revelle on ESPN.com. Obviously, yes, I did see Jesse Granger posted first on his Twitter, but it's basically the Golden Knights settled their trademark issue with Army over the use of the name. The biggest thing was basically settled with U.S. Army clearing the way for both teams to be able to use the right of the name legally, which is what they wanted to. Basically, both teams announced on Thursday that they entered into a coexistence agreement that allows both of the teams to use and file the hockey trademark rights, which allows Army, which is the Black Knights right now, but their parachute team, as you said, is the Golden Knights. So now that allows both of the teams to be able to keep it.
Hey, you know, I am all about the military. I think we all are. But really, the parachute team, we're arguing over a name for the parachute team. They should be really happy that they're the Golden Knights, and the Golden Knights now use that name, because look what the Golden Knights just did. So to be able to call yourself the Golden Knights and be a parachute team, I would think that shows that you're pretty strong. I just don't understand where there was any legal issues at all. It's a parachute team. Isn't that like a club? There's no such thing as a parachute team.
But not only that, you got to understand that the trademark became a lot more valuable, especially the name
when
of the Golden Knights,
yeah,
when they got to the Stanley
Correct.
Cup Finals in their
inaugural
season.
So what are we
season.
Talking about here?
You know what I mean? Not only that, no other NHL team sold more gear than the Golden Knights did last year.
We know that. So why
all
are
that
we...
is why they want to do this. Why would Army want the name all of a sudden and go this far?
Okay, yeah,
they're
calling attention to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
All right, well, good deal.
Well, look, here's the thing. I get that that's their parachute team, and you know what? Maybe they've been called that for 100 years. I have no idea. But the reality
that's exactly,
is,
you had no idea, neither did I.
If anybody could have had an issue, I could see University of Central Florida
yes.
having an issue.
Right.
Because
Correct.
Why was the Army, United States Military Academy, why were they not upset with Central Florida?
Yeah.
You know, they went to the Fiesta Bowl the one year with Blake Bortles.
Correct. Won that. All the advertising.
Then this year, they are the quote-unquote national champions.
Wasn't Dante Culpepper a quarterback there at one time?
Screw you, Alabama. Yeah. Central Florida is my national champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't have – why was it not an issue then?
Yeah, I know.
Now that Bill Foley, a former
– Cadet
at the United States Military Academy, pays homage to the United States Military
Literally
Academy.
Literally pays homage.
Yes. That it's an issue.
Yeah.
Because it's typical government overreaction.
But the guy donated $15 million. But you're really going to make him go through this?
But you know what? It may not have been anybody associated. Here's the thing, though. It may not have been anybody associated with the school. It could have come from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And not from, I can't remember the name of the city, where West Point. May not have come from West Point, you know? And I get that that maybe they wanted to capitalize on the success of the Golden Knights, but the best quote I heard was, and I don't remember who said it, but I don't know anybody who came to a Golden Knights hockey game this year and expected to see a parachute team.
Yeah, I did see that. You're right.
Yeah. So you know, it's worthy of discussing. It's cool. And again, I don't want in any way downplay the military. I'm just saying.
No, absolutely not.
I just didn't think it was. You don't make a big stink out of this. Guys, listen, one of the things, and Mags talked about it, that I did want to quickly bring up today is, you know, the WNBA, something I haven't been out to enough. Jose's been to a good number of games. You've been to a couple, Chris. But, you know, it's another professional sports franchise here. These women are really good.
They're super talented, man. They got to get a lot more respect.
And this Vegas Knights team that started out really in doldrums and looked like they were going to be bad, they've got two players in the WNBA All-Star game you'll see this week. And this team is fighting right now. If they win today, my understanding is they would slide into the eighth playoff spot in the Western Conference. That's pretty cool.
Correct. They're literally right there, man. They're on fire right now. They've been playing good. 6-4 in their last 10 games,
and
which is really
good.
They've
beaten some good teams. They've beaten L.A.
Is Bill Laimbeer still an ass? Can somebody tell me that?
They beat L.A. Phoenix is the third team in the league right now.
They beat Connecticut the other night.
Yeah, they're doing really good.
But I think, they're ahead of schedule, you know, because I think they weren't expecting to be in this position. You know, they're a very young team. Obviously, with Asia Wilson and
Kelsey Plum,
but they're ahead of schedule, and I think it really speaks to. By the way, Tiger just double bogeyed.
Yeah, just double bogeyed, man.
By the way,
a killer.
You know, Bill Laimbeer was a guy who you know, what I had read about him as a coach was he was a phenomenal coach, and I think it really just speaks to how great of a WNBA coach Bill Laimbeer is, because he's won championships. This was a total rebuilding process. Very young team, and they're pushing for a playoff spot.
And not only that, he preaches defense. And when we interviewed him in Media Day, he even said, when we brought Joe Dumars to the Pistons, you're going to play defense. That's how you're going to make this team.
That was Chuck Daly. And Chuck Daly preached defense wins championships. The Pistons and the Bad Boys epitomized a great defense. Dennis Rodman, the best defensive player in basketball
for
a couple of years.
One of the things that Laimbeer told me was that all the guys on the team thought he was going to be a coach when he was playing.
It makes sense. I mean, the bottom line is Bill Laimbeer, as much of an ass as I think he is, commands tremendous respect, and they're doing it. Listen, this side of the line, we're out of time. I want to thank everyone for joining the show. Mark Anderson, Jimmy Gemma, Jose Valote, Straight Bet Sports, Chris Magnum Chapman, our producer. We're here every Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman. We will be back, same time, same place, next week. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't, tell them anyways. We'll see you later.